Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program. Today and all this week we've been studying Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And today we find ourselves in that last part of verse 26, which predicts the time period where the temple is going to be destroyed. Actually, to understand this portion of Scripture, Daniel starts off in verse 24 of predicting that there's going to be a 490-year period in which God's going to accomplish several things among the people of Israel and among their city. And it'd help you to understand this portion of Scripture as you read verse 24, which is 70 weeks. It's actually a reference to 70 different seven-year periods, which totals out to be 490 years. And it might help you to understand that verses 24 through the first half of verse 26 relate to the first 69 weeks of Daniel, or the first 483 years of this prophecy. Verse 27 relates to what is termed the 70th week of Daniel, or that last seven-year period, which we also call the Great Tribulation. And the last part of verse 26, which we'll study today, relates to that time in between the 69th week of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel. Or more specifically, that time period which predicts the destruction of the nation of Israel in 70 AD. So the last part of verse 26 reads this way: "And the people of the princes to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war desolations are determined." And so here we have a prediction that the city as well as the sanctuary is going to be destroyed. And actually, historically, this was fulfilled in 70 AD when the Romans, led by Titus, came into the city and destroyed the temple as well as the city itself. And over 1 million Jews died in this destruction. So it truly was a time of war as well as desolation or destruction was determined for this time period. And here the phrase, it says, "the end of it shall be with a flood." This is a way to communicate the idea that a warlike host will come out and wipe out a group of people. This is also used in Daniel chapter 11, verse 10, verse 22, verse 26, and verse 40. So it's like a flood of people coming in and destroying or wiping out their enemies. And we do have commentary in the New Testament on this portion of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 24. And as Jesus was walking with his disciples, as recorded in Matthew 24, the first three verses read this way: "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you that not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.' Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" And so here, as the disciples of Jesus were so enamored with the temple, they were pointing things out to Jesus. Jesus said there's going to come a time period when not one stone will be left upon another. Now, some people may read that and say, oh, he was exaggerating and was merely describing a form of destruction that would come upon the temple. But actually, literally, this took place that one stone was not left upon another. And according to the Talmud, a Roman officer by the name of Rufus in 70 A.D., plowed up the foundation of the temple with a plowshare. The Jewish historian Jerome and the Jewish philosopher Maimonides also verify this story. So literally, this portion of Scripture was fulfilled to the detail. And that's exactly what Daniel is describing in that last part of verse 26 of chapter 9, where the city and the sanctuary will be destroyed. It'll be like an enemy coming in like a flood and wiping it out. If you'd like to read more about this war that took place and how the Jews tried to preserve the temple, you could read it in the works of Josephus. And there it describes how the people went into the temple thinking that God would preserve them because they were hiding out in the temple as if that sacred place would preserve them. And surely God wouldn't allow the temple to be destroyed. But that's exactly what took place. The people inside began to starve and atrocities were committed. Even cannibalism is recorded, as well as over 1 million Jews being killed through this destruction. So truly, this passage was fulfilled to the detail. Now, in relation to this prophecy, not everybody interprets this portion of Scripture the way that I just gave to you. There are those in the church who are amillennial in their theology. They are Christians. They love the Lord. They believe the Bible is the Word of God, but they've come to different conclusions. Amillennialism is basically the belief that there will not be a literal thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth after the second coming of Jesus Christ. They also hold to the idea that the church has now replaced the nation of Israel and we're receiving of the promises that were given to them. Israel failed by rejecting their Messiah, and so now the church has replaced them as the people of God, and that God doesn't have a future plan for the nation of Israel. I do not follow that system of thought. I do not believe it's accurate, because I believe this portion of Scripture predicts that this entire time period is for Daniel's people in Daniel's holy city. Those that are amillennial, they do love the Lord. They are part of the Church of Jesus Christ. They do love the Word of God and are trying to understand it. So it's not a matter of salvation, but there's just differences when we come to the study of end times prophecy. Now, one of the accusations that they make against the premillennial interpretation is that they would come along and say, what you're doing here is dividing up verse 26 and verse 27, and you're putting this giant gap in there. Because as we'll study in our next program, the last week, or the 70th week of Daniel, discussed in verse 27, is actually a reference to the tribulation period. So as we have Daniel 24, 25, and 26 all fulfilled in the life of Christ and in that first century, they would object to saying, well, you can't take verse 27 and apply it to sometime in our future. So at least 2,000 years have gone by of this time gap in relationship to this prophecy. They would see all this being fulfilled. They would see this all being fulfilled as well as Matthew chapter 24 in 70 AD. They would squeeze this together and say, it's not right for you to put a gap in there between this section of prophecy. Well, let me justify that, because the Old Testament does this continually, and I'll just give you one of many examples that could be cited. And probably the best one is found in Isaiah chapter 61, where Jesus in Luke chapter 4 read this portion of Scripture and said, today this Scripture is fulfilled in your midst. And this is what he said, and this is what he read. Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where he stopped, right at that phrase. But the next phrase that follows that says, and the day of vengeance of our God. And obviously Jesus was not coming to proclaim the day of vengeance, but to proclaim the year of liberty and acceptance, because what he was going to do on the cross. So here we have an Old Testament passage, which is one of many that could be cited, which puts the first and second coming of Jesus Christ as one event. And many of the Jews, as they were studying their Old Testament scriptures, they were troubled by this. Some even suggested, well, there must be two messiahs, one that's going to come and suffer and die, and one that's going to rule and reign. And actually, as they were studying the scriptures, they came across this difficulty, which we now see it was an impossibility to understand a first and second coming of Christ. And actually, there's this giant gap there in verse 2 of Isaiah 61 that's lasted for at least 2,000 years, maybe even going to be longer than that. So for many prophecies that relate to the first and second coming of Jesus Christ, there is this gap there in the verses. There is this gap of time there, just as we see in Daniel chapter 9. Now, the rest of verse 2 and 3 of Isaiah 61 reads this way, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then verse 4 goes on to say, and they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. That's when the Lord comes back and restores the nation of Israel, and all those that are mourning, he brings in comfort. Those that are in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. So in the second coming, all this will be fulfilled. So as we go back to Daniel chapter 9, it's very acceptable and appropriate to put a gap or a time gap in between the end of verse 26 and verse 27. Because verse 27, as we'll see in our next study, will discuss the tribulation period. And there's been at least 2,000 years now that would fit in this time period. So in our next study, we'll focus on verse 27, learning about the 70th week of Daniel, or that last 7-year period, which we call the tribulation period.